Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, nah, that's okay. That's all good. It's all good. It's all good. 2 Peter chapter 1. Wow. I should stop now. Well, it's good. Second Peter, chapter 1. Last week we concluded 1 Peter. And so as we always do here at Calvary Chapel, we just continue to the next page and pick up in 2 Peter. And as I've been praying, looking at the life of Peter, there's one thing that just constantly is an impression upon my heart. And we're going to look at that this morning as we look at just one verse in 2 Peter chapter 1. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless this time. Father in heaven, we worship You this morning. And God, I pray that those are not just empty words, that truly those are an attitude of our hearts, that we do worship You, that we do truly love You. To see You work in the lives of young girls, changing their lives of hopelessness to abundance of hope. Lord, that's the work of Your Spirit. That's the work of Your love. That's the work of Your Word. And so as we come here this morning, we pray, Lord, transform us. Renew our minds. Help us, God, to become those Christians, those humans that You want us to be. And as we read the Scriptures, let us glean from the experiences that believers that have gone before us have experienced with You. Lord, that we can have the very same experiences today, that You can raise us from the dead, that You can heal us from our blindness, that You can lift up our broken hearts. And so, God, we pray, have Your way in this place. Bless Your people, for it's in Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The thing I love about Peter is the difference you see in his life from the Gospels to Acts and following. After Jesus died, after He rose, Peter had a miraculous transformation. His transformation was that of the Holy Spirit coming into his life. The transformation was his dependence upon Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus did for him and all the things that Jesus taught him. It's a life that was transformed. It was a life that was different. Different from when Jesus was alive and different when Jesus rose and was in heaven. And as I think about the life of Peter and that transforming work and that the work that the Holy Spirit did in Peter's life, I think, God, You can do that in my life. You have done that in my life. You have transformed me. You have renewed my mind. You have taken me from a place before I knew You to a place now I do know You and how You use me, God. And so this morning, I want us to look at Peter's life real briefly, just again, one verse in the first chapter. But also realize that there's a work that God does in Peter's life once he has the Holy Spirit in his life. Now, those of you in this room who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who put your trust, your hope, and your life into His hands, you too have the Holy Spirit. And you too should be transformed, and you should be, as I'm titling this morning's message, Are You Different? Are you different because of what Jesus has done in your life? Are you different because you believe in the Bible, that the Bible is true? Are you different, Christian, than you were yesterday? Than you were when you got saved, and hopefully when you were before you were saved? Are you different? Are you changing? Is there a difference in your life compared to the world's life, people who live in the world? Maybe people you know who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Is your life different? See, Peter had a wonderful opportunity. It's a great display for us to see the power of the Holy Spirit. And those of you in this room who know people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, you know they're different. You've seen the change. And for some of you, maybe you've just begun to walk with the Lord. There's a change coming in your life if you allow God to do that work. Peter was a man whose life changed radically, in fact. If you know Peter in the Gospels, you know Peter did his best to be the number one man, right? He did his best to ask the questions. He was the one that what? Scripture says he pulled the Lord aside and rebuked him. Whoa, Pete, don't rebuke the Lord. How many of us have questioned God's heart? How many of us have said to God, are you sure? I mean, does God make mistakes? See, Peter's life changed radically after he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only should you be different because you believe in Jesus, but you also should continually be different. You should continually be changed. The things in your mind, in your heart, in your life should constantly be molded and shaped into the likeness of Jesus Christ as you mature in the Lord. So it's not just unbeliever, believer. It's believer and then maturing and growing and becoming more holy before the Lord. See, Jesus said this, so you don't need to turn there. This is found in Luke's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. And the Lord said to Simon, which is Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Whew. Jesus goes on, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. I stand before you, a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going to make a statement now I want you to listen to. I truly hope that Satan is asking for me. I certainly hope that Satan is asking for me that he will sift me as wheat, because that would be an indication that I'm a threat. Do you hear me? If Satan is asking for you by name to sift you as wheat, it's because you're doing some stuff for God. It's because there's a threat that is in his face and he wants to mess with you. So in one sense, I'm hoping that Satan is asking for me. Not that he's going to mess with me. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. But you see what else Jesus said to Peter? Don't worry, Peter. I prayed for you. See, when Satan asks for my name, not only does it mean I'm doing things for God and I'm a threat to him, but it also means now Jesus is going to get on the job. Now Jesus is going to start praying for me, and he'll start praying for you. And yes, he intercedes for all believers. But I want Jesus to be interceding for me in such a way, said, Father, give him the Holy Spirit. Empower him to be a witness for you. Oh, we should all as Christians in some sense is saying, boy, I hope the enemy's asking for me. Because if the enemy's not asking for you, guess what? You're not a threat. You're not doing things for the Lord. Which is okay, you're still saved. But if there's something inside you that says, God, I want more. God, I want to do more for you. I want to be different. I want to be different than the other quote-unquote Christians. I want to make a difference. How does Peter respond to this? Satan has asked for you. He says this, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Boy, that's a boy, Pete. That away, man. So let Satan call for me. He's like, I'm ready to go to prison with you, Lord. Let's do it, and I'll even die for you. See, he was confident. He was confident and committed to his Lord. He had the mindset, bring the enemy on. Because he probably witnessed Jesus Christ overcome the enemy. And then Jesus responds, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you've denied me three times. The Lord has a way of getting us, doesn't he? The Lord has a way of putting you in your place. He said, Pete, I love the intent, but dude, I know the reality. See, there's a dependency that we must have on the Holy Spirit. There's a dependency that we must have upon the Lord. We can't fight the enemy on our own strength, and we learned that last time. We need to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to stand and hold our ground because of the Lord that we have in us. Are you different? Has your life changed since you became a believer? Is there a time in your life where you can look back and go, that's when things changed for me. That's when my life turned a corner. That's right there at that particular moment, or maybe there's several moments where God revealed himself in a powerful way. Are you different? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to look at three things in one verse. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As typical form of New Testament letters, always start out with the introduction, Peter. But not just Peter, do you notice? He says, Simon Peter. If you're taking notes, number one, if you're different, you need to remember who you were. You need to remember who you were. See, when Peter says in the beginning of his letter, Simon Peter, he's using his given name first, Simon, and then Peter was his name that was given to him by the Lord, also known as Cephas. So I believe, because here in 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, if you remember 1 Peter, he starts out by saying what? He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I, in some senses, feel like Peter has matured from his first letter to the second letter, which could be anywhere from 2 to 4 years. I believe he's matured to the place where he's no longer so proud of his title, rather than he realizes his place. He realizes where he's come from. Simon is who he was before the Lord encountered him. Peter is who he was after the Lord encountered him. Who were you before? We cannot forget where we've come. You've heard me preach it many a times. Don't dwell on the past. Don't focus on your failures. But don't forget how far you've come, how much God has done in your life. It's always very sobering to look back and go, boy, I remember a day, either when I didn't know the Lord or when I really didn't walk strongly with the Lord. See, Peter introduces himself as Simon Peter. See, I wasn't always Pastor Rob. I was Rob, unbelieving Rob for many years, living my life the way I wanted to. And I remember those days, and I remember striving, get the good job, make the money, do the things you want, party, have fun. So every once in a while, I need to remember where I've come from. I need to remember where I've been, what God has done in my life. Jesus says this to Peter, in 1 John 4, verse 42, you don't have to turn there. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Do you realize that Jesus can take your life, your frail life, your weak life, and transform it into a rock? Transform it into something that makes an impact in this world for all eternity? That's the transforming work. What has Jesus done in your life? How has he transformed your life? Are you growing? Are you different? Or are you just status quo? Are you the same that you've always been? Because I believe we all have an opportunity to display God's power in our lives, if we will let him. God doesn't just do it. God doesn't just take your life and make it happen. He's like, I want to do something in your life, but will you let me? Or do you give God opportunities to work in your life? Keep your place in 1 Peter. We will jump back. Flip over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll pick up in verse 13. Verse 13, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, using his birth name, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter. That's his new name. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you see the power that Jesus Christ gave to Simon Bar-Jonah or Peter? Simon Peter. He said, listen, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this statement that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Peter himself. He's an example for us. But upon this rock that we believe Jesus Christ is Lord, we will have the same power. Give you the keys to the kingdom. Do you possess the keys to the kingdom this morning? Do you have them in your hands? Are you opening doors for God? Are you opening doors for people to know God? Are you working on God's behalf? See, Peter was a rock. Jesus Christ transformed him into a rock, into one that can be solid, unmovable, unshakable. He still had a lot of work to do here in the Gospels. But listen to me. Don't allow the work that still needs to be done in your life to hinder you from doing anything for the Lord today. Don't we all get to that place where we think, I'm not there yet? I need some more time before I get to where I need to be used by God. Do you know you could be used by God today? This morning? Before you leave? God could use your life in the life of someone else here this morning. But I feel like there's so many in the church today that think, I'm not worthy. I'll let the pastors do it. I'll let the elders do it. I'll let the deacons do it. I'm not really there yet. Listen, I'm not up here to encourage you to serve in the church so you'll get something done in this building. I'm here to encourage you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ so that your life will make an impact for Him. Do something for God. Not for salvation, not so you feel better about yourself, but so that you have an opportunity to be a part of God's plan. That's the difference. Some churches probably have lists of things. Hey, we need volunteers for this, and we need workers for that, and we need them. But see, we want people that are willing to help. We want people that have a heart to be used by God. When I first got saved, I mean, the first year or so, I mean, I was just learning about God and learning about my salvation. But we got involved in a Calvary Chapel start back in, I think it was the mid-90s, 96, 97. And there were opportunities to serve in that church. There were opportunities to set up, to break down, to move in the pulpit. I mean, what a privilege it was to move the pulpit in for the pastor. See, it was the heart that God had given to us to help, the work that needed to be done. And working in the church, working in the ministry equips us to work in the world, equips us to help those around us. Keeps us from being critical. Serve people. I have a critical heart. And I need God to soften that heart. I need God to take that heart and make it into a heart of flesh that is compassionate to people. Do you struggle with that sometimes? Struggle with what other people do? As they flick cigarette butts out the window of their car? It's like constant for me. It's like, okay, Lord, I know you're stretching me. Oh, you want me to go fellowship with that individual, God? I need my heart to be soft so that I can be used by God. And I have to remember where I've come from. I have to remember what God has done in my life. I am so humbled and so honored in the position God has called me, but it took a while to get there. I had to let God work in my life. Let God work in your life. We all have been transformed the way Peter has. We've all been transformed. As you go back to 2 Peter, I'm going to do that for a couple chapters probably. 2 Peter, not only do we have to remember where we've come from, we have to remember what Christ has done for us. Remember how He's saved you from sinful nature. Not that we are sinless, but He's saved us from that. How He's delivered you from the power of darkness and restored you. I was listening to a message this week on bot radio. I encourage anyone that wants to just be dry, if you're in a car a lot, turn on bot radio, get some good Christian teaching. Oh, it's so, even if it's just for 30 minutes, it's such an encouraging thing. And as this teacher was speaking on an area of scripture that we were going through it on our Wednesday night Bible study, God revealed something to my heart. when it talking about this major transformation of our lives, how God has changed us from who we were to who we are now. In fact, I probably shouldn't have brought you back to 1 Peter. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus. We all probably know this story. How the sisters, you know, sent word to Jesus, hey, the one you love, Lazarus, he's sick, you should come. And we all know what happened. Jesus hung out for a few more days, right? We all love that when Jesus does that. Lord, I need your help now. I'll be there in a couple days. Oh, no. But I want you to see something that I've never seen before. And I hope it ministers to someone today. Chapter 11, verse 1. Let's look at it. We're going to jump around. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her tears, or with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. Okay, highlight that in your Bible. In the place where he was. And after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus, he's dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So we see the delays that God has in our lives are for a purpose, for a reason, that he'll get glory. Verse 16, then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. That was a sarcastic comment, by the way. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Which is an interesting thing that she had the trust that Jesus Christ could keep someone from dying. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha, missing it, said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So Jesus was challenging her faith. Then we go, let's jump down to verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Then he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Again, a very familiar area of scripture. And the power of God to raise the dead by just speaking. Jesus didn't go in and beg the body to get up. He didn't do any hocus. He just said, Lazarus, come forth, and this body comes forth. The thing I want you to realize, I feel like God spoke to my heart because he's done it in my life and he's done it in your life if you're a believer here this morning. Before you had an experience with Jesus Christ, can I lovingly say, you stunk. We all stunk before the Lord. And when this pastor was teaching this area of Scripture and never talked about it, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit, nobody talked about the stench when Jesus rose Lazarus. And this is what I believe with all of my heart. Not only did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, he removed the stink. Isn't that good news? That Jesus Christ removes the stink of our lives. That he's removed the stench of our past. Please do me this favor, believer. Don't live in the past. Don't live in your failures. Don't look back at those things where you made a mistake. Look forward because God is making you a Peter who was an interesting character with the Lord and became a powerful presence in the church after the Lord died and was rose again. Jesus removes the stench of our thinking. Jesus removes the stench of our thoughts and the intents of our heart. Allow that process to happen in your life. Be thankful where you are today. Be looking back to where God has brought you. And now let's look to where we're supposed to go from there. As we go back to 2 Peter, I told you I'm going to do it. 2 Peter, and we've only talked about two words so far. Simon Peter. Before he was touched by God, and then after he was Peter the stone. Notice what he calls himself, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Remember what I told you, 1 Peter. I'm Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter. 2 Peter, he goes, I'm Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Not only must we remember who you were, you need to realize who you are. Who you are. Listen to me. At this point in Peter's life, he's maturing, I believe, in the Lord. He's seeing God work in his life, and he's gotten to the point where he realizes, I'm a bondservant. The word bondservant means bond slave. What Peter is saying, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. And I'd like to propose to everyone in this room, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're first and foremost his servant. You're first and foremost his slave. He's your master. Listen, there may be some successful CEOs in this room. There may be some pastors in this room, some elders in this room, some deacons. Maybe there's even some famous athletes. All of these things are great. But at the absolute root, at absolute foundation, we're Christians. We're slaves to Jesus Christ. See, the place that God takes us is in his hands. The place where we are is in our hands. I want to be that slave. I want to be that servant to God. A bondservant is a willing servant. One says, I willingly serve. You're not forced. You're not drafted into the kingdom of God. No, you willingly come in. You say, Lord, I want to be your servant. I want to be your slave. And so we need to realize who we are in Christ. Christians first. Christians first. Peter was a servant first, an apostle second. Not to diminish the work that God did in Peter's life. Not to diminish the work that he did in your life, or he's doing in your life. You maybe have that title because you've earned it. You may have that position because you worked hard to get there. Or because God opened doors for you, and that is wonderful, that is great. But please, never have this attitude that, I'm a pastor, you pick up the trash. I'm a pastor. You watch the kids. I'm an elder at this church. You want me to move the chairs? Do you hear my heart? It's Peter. I just love the heart of Peter. Peter's gotten to this place in his life where he's like, I'm a bondservant first. I'm a bondservant first. If I were to ask you who you are, would you tell me where you work? Would you tell me what you do for a living? I know some of them. Would you tell me what you do for a living? Would you tell me your gifts and talents? Or would you tell me who you are? Who are you? Gosh, I would hope at some point on that list we'd say, I'm a lover of Jesus. I'm a student of the Word. I'm someone that God's using. at some place in there, who are we? Who are you, Christian? What are you trying? I mean, you might be trying to strive for something or achieve something, and those are great. God wants you to have those things in your life. But ultimately, he stands before you and says, I'm God, you're not, you're really nothing. Right? It doesn't matter. Our position. The first thing you must be, and you should be, is a servant. And never minimize the position that God gives to you. If God opens a door for you to be a pastor, a deacon, an elder, a servant, and wonderful. That's wonderful. But we're all those positions at the root are serving others, are lifting others up. That's what we must be. Finally, remember who you are or who you were. Realize who you are. Finally, respect what you have. Respect what you have. And I love this encouraging second part of this verse that Peter says, who he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Respect what you have. You've been given faith by God. And when we read our Bibles and we talk about Paul, who's what a wonderful Christian, right? When we read about Peter, man, God used Peter. When we start looking at these lives, I think these are special people. And Peter humbly says, you've obtained like precious faith. The same faith that Peter had, you have. The same faith that he had in Jesus Christ and in God is available to you and to all. It's not different. It hasn't diminished over the years. There wasn't special faith in the beginning of the church era, and now it's kind of getting weaning. No, it's the same faith. The same faith. And notice it says, you've obtained it, which means you've received it, another way to put it. It's not by your efforts. It's a gift from God, right? Ephesians 2:8 will be overhead. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The same faith that was coursing through Peter's veins is coursing through your veins as well. No different. Same power, same ability. Same opportunities lie before us, Christians, if we would just trust in that faith. How is your faith? Is your faith being stirred? Is your faith being stretched? Is your faith being renewed every single day? Hey, we all get discouraged. We all get down. But we can stand with that confidence with the faith that God has given to us. Do you truly believe God can do anything? Do you have that kind of faith? Or do you believe God can do anything for anybody else but not you? I feel like we get it sometimes. It's like, boy, I believe God's going to do great things in your life, but man, he's just going to leave me on the sidelines. Don't have that attitude. Like precious faith. It's precious faith. And notice he goes on, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The faith was obtained not by efforts of man, but only by the righteousness of God. That's good news. That's good to know that there's nothing I can do to add to my faith, personally. God adds to that faith. God strengthens me. It's an abundance of grace that is available to us. So, I hope this morning you've been challenged to be different, Christian. To don't blend in with the crowd. To don't hang with the friends that just kind of are compromising their faith. But be that one to say, this is not right. To be the one that's different in the crowd. And not worry about the outcome. Listen, this is Memorial Day weekend, isn't it? Tomorrow we have an extra day off, maybe some of us. Extra day off to remember those men and women that have died for us that we could have and enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country, right? And I hope you're going out on the lake. I hope you're doing a cookout. I hope you're having a party with your friends. Remembering those men and women that died for us. But I would ask you to do one other thing. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember that he also died for you, not to be free in this country, not so that you could have freedom of speech, but that your soul could be set free, that your spirit can be set free. That's truly what we should celebrate. Hey, it's great that we live in a country that's free. Hey, don't get me wrong. But boy, oh boy, through Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, we're free anywhere we go, aren't we? No matter how many chains we might get bound up with. Thank you. Let's remember what Jesus has done. Be different, Christian. Be different. Let people know you don't go with the flow, you go against the flow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for men and women like Peter, whose lives have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for removing the stench from our lives. Thank you for healing us and raising us from the dead. For we as Christians live forever. Death has lost its sting. And for that we are grateful. But God, I pray that every breath in our lungs that we would live for you, that we would encourage others to commit their lives to you, and that we would be those found faithful, God, in these last days. Faithful to your word, faithful to your ways, faithful to your will. God, use us. We want to be like Peter. We want to finish well. We want to finish strong. As we get into this second letter of Peter, we're going to see even more of a transforming work as he pens down these words, so powerful and so effective in our lives. So, God, fill us today with your Spirit. Bless us. Keep us safe this weekend as we remember the men and women that have gone before us to make this country free, but also that we remember you for setting us free from sin. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.